Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 17 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. John McAteer. John is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, a MA in philosophy of religion and ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. John is also a contributing writer for the journal, and he does write a fair amount of film reviews for us. In volume 39, number 5, issue of the Christian Research Journal, John has written a film review called Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. John, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here.
Well, Suicide Squad did surprisingly well despite some pretty bad reviews, and opening weekend it was huge. It was number one. I think this past weekend it had more of a precipitous dive. But why do you think that it did better with the fans than it did with the reviewers?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, at least Hollywood watchers, were surprised. It was number one in 2 weeks in a row. People kind of thought it would tank because the early word of mouth was that it was so bad. But it's the kind of movie that fans care about more than reviewers. What we call critic-proof movies, no matter how bad the reviews are, people want to see these characters. And I think partly that's because the marketing was so good on this movie. It had a series of really good trailers that played up the kind of humorous element of the story. There was lots of comedy, at least in the trailers, not as much in the actual film. But it was, I think they were building on the goodwill of two recent hits, Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool, which are both kind of comic book superhero-type movies that were much funnier than a typical superhero movie. And it seems like audiences are just ready for that kind of lighthearted take on the genre.
Well, Suicide Squad was directed by David Ayer, who's done a few films before this comic book one, and he has covered Christian themes in the past. Did you feel like there were any Christian themes that were explored at all in Suicide Squad? I was kind of looking out for that as I saw the film.
Yeah, I think, Ayer isn't what I would call a Christian filmmaker. I mean, he's a mainstream Hollywood filmmaker. But he does seem to have some, interest in Christianity, and a lot of his movies do have those themes. I think especially the movie Fury, which was a Brad Pitt movie about World War II following a tank squad, and there was lots of really interesting Christian stuff in that movie. This one, Suicide Squad, I would say, to me, there were lots of kind of references to Christianity, especially in the character of El Diablo, who was a gang member who kind of got the power of, causing fire, shooting fire out of himself. And so he took the name the Devil, kind of thinking he had this power of the devil. But his family is portrayed as a Christian family. His wife prays for him and that sort of thing. So, there was that kind of explicit level of Christianity.
I did think he also got into exploring, like, what does it mean to be a bad person? Like, who is bad and who is good in the film? It made me think about that. You were mentioning Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool, and what do you think that those films have in common with Suicide Squad? I don't know that Suicide Squad, I found it funny, although I did find Guardians of the Galaxy very funny.
That's true, yeah. I mean, as I said, I don't think the movie Suicide Squad was actually that funny and lighthearted, but the trailers were. I think they were shooting for that Guardians of the Galaxy audience. As far as, that kind of comedic thing, was part of the marketing campaign. But in terms of the films themselves, I think those three movies, Suicide Squad, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Deadpool, all are interesting to me because they're all about anti-heroes. And so that's something that seems to be new in our culture.
What do you exactly mean by anti-hero? I know you're exploring that in your review when you say in the title that it's the rise of the comic book anti-hero.
Yeah, I mean, so an anti-hero is just a main character, a protagonist of a story who, you would think of him as the hero of the story or maybe even a superhero in these kind of stories, but they don't have the characteristics of a traditional hero. They might be more kind of morally ambiguous. They're flawed. They don't always do the right thing. They're not like, you know, Superman, who's a very classic hero. He's perfect, basically, and he always does the right thing. But other kinds of heroes, sometimes, you know, they may have to start off flawed and become, you know, more heroic as the movie goes.
So do you think that anti-heroes are problematic because, like you said, they're not perfect role models? In other words, as a viewer, do we feel uncomfortable rooting for, quote-unquote, the bad guy?
Yeah, I mean, we should, I would say, in some sense. You know, what's interesting about superheroes, one of the things that's interesting is that they are kind of this idealized almost role model in some ways. You know, kids look up to Superman, and that's good. You know, he never lies. He never kills anybody. He never does anything that's sort of, you know, morally questionable. He's just this perfect role model. But other characters, you know, especially these anti-heroes, they're not somebody you would want your children to look up to and try to imitate as a role model. So anti-heroes, you know, the best ones, I think, are mixtures of good and bad. You know, portrayal of bad people, of evil character traits and actions, I think is fine in a story as long as it's being portrayed as evil, you know. It's only problematic when evil is portrayed as good. So obviously it's okay to have bad guys in a story, but if you portray the bad guy as somebody you should imitate and look up to, then that's not good. And so some of these movies, I think, are starting to cross that line.
Have there been anti-heroes throughout, you know, history? I mean, you mentioned that it's something new in a contemporary sense. How is it new?
Yeah, I mean, the basic idea of anti-heroes has been around, you know, forever. If you think all the way back to, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey, you know, Achilles and Odysseus and these kind of people are not, you know, role models in every sense. They do some things we wouldn't consider good. And then I would say even in the Bible, you have, you know, anti-heroes in the sense that they, you know, some of the things they do might be good, but not all the characters in the Bible are, you know, meant to be role models. We're not meant to kind of act like Abraham, say. He's a role model in our in the sense that he had faith, but not everything that he did was faithful. You know, sometimes, like, for example, when he lied to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that Sarah, his wife, was actually his sister, and then Sarah went into the Pharaoh's harem, right? That was obviously not something that we would look up to for as a role model in Abraham, although other things that he did was good.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is John McAteer, who has written a film review called Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. It's in the volume 39, number 5 issue in October 2016 of the Christian Research Journal. To read his upcoming review, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe, visit our website at equip.org. We were talking earlier about Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool and just kind of rooting for the bad guys. Do you think those films portray evil as something good? Or also, what about the element of revenge?
Yeah, I mean, to me, revenge is one one example of something that I don't think we should. Our heroes don't seek revenge. You know, heroes seek justice, and this is something I think the recent Batman movies were good at. At least thinking of, you know, Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, Batman Begins, and The Dark Knight. Especially Batman Begins is a lot about you know, Bruce Wayne initially wanting revenge for his parents' death, and then it's sort of the story of him coming to accept. You know, the true nature of justice is not revenge, but you know, bringing people to justice. So that's a good example of an anti-hero kind of story. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is a little bit different, I think. The characters there are not they're not heroes at all in the beginning. They're actually, you know, criminals who you know, steal and smuggle and that kind of thing. They remind me a lot of Han Solo kind of types. Think about Star Wars. Han Solo is technically a bad guy, I guess, but he never really does anything that bad. In the stories, we just sort of are told that he's a rogue. He does start off sort of selfish. He cares more about money than, you know, being a hero. That's sort of how the Guardians of the Galaxy characters are at the beginning of the film. But like Han Solo, they come to kind of realize that, you know, there's more to life than money, and they have to stand up for what's right and save the galaxy and all that. So they're very kind of typical anti-hero stories that I don't think are problematic, because they never tell us that being a bad guy is actually something you should like. Deadpool is something kind of new, I think, especially in the movies, because he's a mercenary, kind of somebody who just does things for money and is willing to kill and steal and do all kinds of bad things. And it is it's never portrayed as kind of wrong. You're supposed to think that he's a cool guy because he's willing to do all of this stuff that a normal hero wouldn't do. And it's portrayed as humorous. You're actually meant to laugh at people who get killed. So I think that's much more problematic, where evil is portrayed as good.
So how would you say that Suicide Squad is compares to Deadpool? I know that Suicide Squad, the way, you know, it's not going to be any spoilers, especially to fans who've read the comics, but, you know, each of these people who are part of the Suicide Squad are just like the notorious worst of the worst villains that are gathered to try to, you know, defeat an even worse villain. And so, you know, they're fairly bad folks. And so how does it compare to Deadpool?
Yeah, I mean, so the kind of the premise of Suicide Squad is that these are villains from other stories. So they're actually, you know, people who in other comic book stories would have been fighting Superman and Batman and Aquaman and Wonder Woman and all these people. But in this story, they are, you know, being coerced into fighting other bad guys. And so they're actually villains who are the quote-unquote heroes or anti-heroes of this story. But what's interesting to me, I mean, it's really Suicide Squad is a much more traditional story, traditional view of anti-heroes than Deadpool. It's not trying to subvert the idea of heroism, which, I mean, Deadpool actively ridicules the idea of being a hero, whereas Suicide Squad, I think, is much more like that kind of Han Solo-type story where the heroes start off as bad guys, but they're most of them, at least the main characters among the group, recognize that what they've done is wrong, and they want to be better. And they're motivated in large part by their families, which I thought was another kind of interesting Christian idea, that it's the love of your family and your friends that can help transform your sin, basically, that you are, if people care about you, that you want to be better for them.
But what about the one female character that, well, there were two actually in the squad, but the main one that they focused on, Harley Quinn, who is the love interest of the Joker. I'd be interested in you kind of talking about her, because the movie ends, it's just kind of a cliffhanger. And also with the flashbacks to the Joker and some of the ways that he inserts himself into the story, it seems like she's the one character who's kind of helping them out, but yet just still has this other, you know, quote unquote, bad side to her.
Yeah, I mean, Harley Quinn is a good example of what might be problematic for kids, in that she isn't really redeemed. I'm thinking of, like, the character Deadshot is played by Will Smith, and the El Diablo character are the two who are most clearly kind of redeemed at the end, who genuinely repent of their sin and want to be real heroes. Harley Quinn doesn't repent. I mean, she is portrayed as literally insane, and she kind of takes joy in crime, so she's a lot more like Deadpool. But I don't think, at least I didn't get the sense that, you know, we're meant to take Harley Quinn as a role model. I mean, she's portrayed as you know, having severe mental illness. She's not supposed to be kind of cool in a certain way. And another way, I guess I do admit she was more problematic, a little closer to the Deadpool side. It's hard to know what to make of her story because it was so jumbled in the movie. You know, it was one of the parts of the, you know, I don't want our listeners to think that I'm saying Suicide Squad is a good movie, because it's really kind of, you know, badly made in a lot of ways. It just has sort of some interesting ideas in it. But her story is one of the ones that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's hard to tell what's going on. So I'm kind of hoping if they make a sequel, she seems like she'll be one of the main characters. Maybe we'll get more into her story.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say that her backstory was an example of poor editing, poor writing. Something there is missing. But on a side note, what did you think of Jared Leto's portrayal of the Joker versus Heath Ledger in the Batman Christopher Nolan version?
I mean, I thought he was fine. He was good. I mean, Heath Ledger is obviously, you know, one of the great portrayals of the Joker. He was you know, nominated for an Oscar. I think he won the Oscar for that role. But that's, you know, I don't expect every performance to be up to that level. I think Jared Leto took a different kind of approach. He was more, in some ways, he seemed to me a little closer to the Joker of the comic books than Heath Ledger, who is just this whole other kind of, you know, force of nature kind of thing. So, I mean, I liked Jared Leto.
Yeah, he did put a very much of an insane spin on it, which did also point to, like you said, Harley Quinn's mental illness. But the fact that she comes out and that she is this strong female character, in fact, there's the female characters, there are not very many of them, but the three main ones that are in Suicide Squad are kind of like strong females, in terms of one avenging the death of her husband, and then this other woman who's like the head of a big government agency and so forth. Would any of those be role models for girls when you kind of think of this anti-hero movie?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think, you know, maybe you mentioned Katana. She's the Asian character, the kind of Japanese samurai sort of person, ninja, I don't know what she is, but she's trying to avenge her husband. I guess she could be a role model. We don't get enough of her story to know what she's all about. And then there's the character of, you mentioned, what's her name? The
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis's character. She's obviously not a role model, because I would say she's actually the villain of the movie, which is an interesting take, that they make the government the bad guys in this movie. And it's, so she's the only one who seems to me kind of purely evil, maybe other than the witch character, who's the main villain, supervillain. But in terms of Harley Quinn, I mean, I guess what's troubling to me about her maybe a little bit is her sexualization. I mean, she's a large part of the attraction of her character. The reason fans like her, I think, is because she is that rare, strong female character in comic books. Sort of sad, I guess. There's so few female character in comic books that Harley Quinn has to become a role model, and you know, she's portrayed as you know, insane, obviously, and at least in this movie, a little bit, I would say, too sexualized. But what's interesting about her character in the comic books, is she is her relationship to the Joker is a lot more complex, and he's portrayed as a kind of almost like an abusive boyfriend that she's both, you know, attracted to, but also, you know, doesn't want to be with because he's really bad to her. And in the comics, I guess she eventually, you know, learns to stand up for herself and that kind of thing. That could be something to explore in the sequel.
So could you recommend any of these three films to our listeners, Suicide Squad, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Deadpool?
I mean, the only one I would actually recommend is Guardians of the Galaxy, which is, you know, generally great comic book movie. It's a lot of fun. There's nothing really objectionable about it, kind of in the traditional kind of Star Wars vein. So that one's just a fun movie. Suicide Squad, as I've said, I mean, I couldn't recommend it because it's just not very well made. There's a lot of problems with it, just in terms of storytelling and character development. So, you know, maybe, you know, if it's on, get it on video or something, just to see what they did. But probably I wouldn't recommend that one. And then Deadpool, I would strongly recommend against it. It's just completely, you know, vulgar and depraved, and no one should watch that movie.
So how could apologists make use of these films in ministry, especially if no one should ever watch Deadpool? I guess
yeah.
You'd have to know your limit there.
Well, in a way, I mean, Deadpool is undefensible as a moral, you know, document, but it does have a lot of fans. A lot of people loved that movie, and it's the highest R-rated movie of all time, second to only to The Passion of the Christ. So it's the second highest grossing R-rated movie. So it's huge, and people love it. I might try to, as an apologist, try to take up a kind of Socratic dialogue with fans of Deadpool. I guess that would be hard to do if you hadn't actually seen it, but maybe if you're an apologist, you could make an exception just to watch it as research. It's because it's so undefensible. I think asking a fan of that movie why they liked it, and kind of putting the burden of proof on them, kind of impressing them on the depravity, right? To get them to the point where they realize they actually don't think it would be cool to live that way, right? And they wouldn't want to be friends with a guy like Deadpool. I think getting them to see that would be good. The other thing, you know, getting them to for Suicide Squad, maybe talking about the idea of friendship, thinking about the influence friends have on us, and seeing how maybe friends actually, I think according to the film, and this may be true, thinking about Aristotle's philosophy and things, friends necessarily make us better people because, you know, characters who are evil are necessarily loners. They can't get along with others. But once you put people into friendships, into groups and teams, even a kind of a superhero team like the Suicide Squad, they have to learn loyalty and heroism and things in order to get along with and work with the rest of the team. So you kind of learn that honor among thieves. But that idea shows that community requires certain virtues in order to exist. You can't have a community or a team or a family without certain virtues. And that brings you to a discussion of a kind of moral realism that I think would be interesting.
So finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. John, pear tart with brown butter crust and vanilla cream, or a chocolate layer cake with chocolate ganache frosting?
Definitely pear tart.
DC or Marvel? I had to ask that one.
Marvel all the way.
And what was one of the worst films that you've seen in the last year, besides Deadpool?
Oh, yeah, one of the worst films? I don't actually see bad films. I'm a very strong believer in reading reviews before I go and not showing up to something I know is going to be bad.
So who is your favorite film director?
Probably Terrence Malick, I would say, the director of Tree of Life.
Yes, it's a great movie, but for a certain kind of person, it's definitely very slow.
Yeah, definitely.
What's on your bucket list? Maybe just one thing on your bucket list.
Yeah, one thing. I'd like to see Rome. I've never been to Rome.
Well, thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you.
John McAteer has written a film review called Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the Rise of the Comic Book Antihero. It's in Volume 39, Number 5, the October 2016 issue of the Christian Research Journal. To read his upcoming review, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe, visit our website online at equip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you also go on to equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app, on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, or subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.